I'm Alex.
And I'm Evan. And welcome to Game Reviews with Evan and Alex.
Today we're going to be talking about Breath of the Wild for a third time. And I know it might sound like a lot, but Breath of the Wild is a crazy in-depth game. And honestly, we could do 10 episodes and still have so much more to talk about. But this episode, we're going to be talking about things you can do after you defeat Ganon and you're just wandering around Hyrule. First, we're going to start off with Koroks.
There are 999 Koroks scattered around the map. Each one gives you a little Korok seed. Korok seeds can be used to purchase item slots from a certain someone after you've finished a side quest. Once you've collected all the Korok seeds, you'll get a gift from the certain someone.
You might think you can wrap this up in a quick amount of time, but with how big the map is, it will take you hours on end to collect all these Korok seeds. Now we're going to talk about some of the DLC, the Champion's Ballad. The Champion's Ballad is only activated once you complete all the Divine Beasts. Once you complete all the Divine Beasts, you'll be able to return to the Shrine of Resurrection, where you started the game, and return the Sheikah Slate to its pedestal. Once you do that, a weapon will appear, called the One-Hit Obliterator. This weapon will bring you all the way down to one hit, which means from any monster, you'll be KO'd. But in return, it can one-shot any enemy in the game. This weapon is extremely powerful, but you do have to be careful when you use it. You're going to have to walk to four different camps of enemies across the Great Plateau and take them all out. Once you KO one camp, a shrine will appear. You'll finish the puzzle in there and then go on to the next. Once you finish all four and beat all four shrines, you're going to unlock the second part of the Champion's Ballad, Mastering the Divine Beasts.
These are incredibly challenging quests that will put your skills to the limit. They'll force you to do things like flying off Death Mountain, fighting the Muldoon King, and finishing 12 shrines. Once you finish the One-Hit Obliterator quest, four monuments will appear, each one in the region that the Divine Beast is in. There's one in the Heber region, there's one in the Lanayru region, there's one in the Elden region, and there's one in the Gerudo region.
Now, I'm going to talk about the challenge in the Gerudo region. In this region, once you find the monument, there will be three pillars on either side showing a place on your map. You're going to have to pinpoint that location and head there. One of them will have you facing an incredibly powerful enemy, the Muldoon King, which is like the normal boss of Mulduga, but extremely powered up. Another challenge will have you returning to the Yiga Hideout, a secret place in the game, so you can retrieve some lost items for some friendly travelers. After doing that, you'll unlock another shrine. Lastly, you're going to need a sand seal, which is a type of seal that lets you quickly travel through sand. And you're going to have to do a little race going through blue rings and try not to get lost in a sandstorm. After that, you'll unlock a third shrine. And then you're going to have to go back to Vonnaboros and do a battle all in your memories, where you're going to have all the gear of the Champion Urbosa. And you're going to have to fight Thunderblight Ganon. But you have to beat him this time, because 100 years ago, Urbosa came up short.
After doing this, you can head to the Heba region, where you'll find the monument there. On this monument, just like the first one, the three locations of the shrines are shown. The first quest will have you sliding down a snowy mountain on your shield, going through a ton of blue rings to unlock the first shrine. The second quest will have you hitting 15 targets in the shooting range. For the third quest, you'll have to shoot the dragon Dinral's horn as he's flying through a mountain gorge. After you've done these three shrines, you'll be able to head over to Meadow and challenge Windblight Ganon. Again, this fight is in your memories, and you'll have the gear of the Champion Revali. Just be careful, because this fight's a challenge.
Next, you'll head over to the monument in the Lanayru region. This is where you fought the Divine Beast Varuda. First, you're going to have to go out into sea and find this hidden little blue ring. Once you activate that, a shrine will appear, and it's in the middle of the ocean. That's a challenge to get to. Next, you're going to have to put on your Zora armor, which lets you swim up waterfalls and complete an obstacle course going through many blue rings on the way. The third one is probably the most challenging. You're going to have to KO 4 guardians, but not just regular guardians, flying guardians. These guardians have much more health and are incredibly hard to hit with your arrows because they move so sporadically. After that, you'll head to Divine Beast Varuda, which again, in your memories, you'll play out the fight between Mipha and Waterblight Ganon. This fight is pretty hard because Mipha didn't have the best gear.
Finally, you'll be heading to the Elden region. In the Elden region, you're going to have to complete the challenges that the champion Daruf did so many years ago. The first one would be defeating a massive pile of molten rock and stone. After you've done this, a shrine will appear in the center of a lake of lava. This can prove quite a challenge to get to. The next challenge you'll do would be flying off Death Mountain and going through 20 blue rings. Then, you'll end up at the very bottom, where a shrine will appear to greet you. The final challenge is surviving a lake of lava. There will be a blue ring hovering over a lake full of lava, and you have to get into it without touching the lava. This is by far the hardest of the challenges. As before, once you've completed these, you can go to Divine Beast Varudanya and challenge Fireblight Ganon. This one is relatively easy because Daruk had some pretty powerful gear.
But during these trials, keep in mind, you don't have to do them in this order. You can start with Mipha and then do Urbosa. It's totally up to you. Also, the three little pieces of map that show you where the trials within the trials are, those can be done in any order either. So it's really just up to your preference. No matter what, whenever you finish one, you'll get a special boost to that champion's power. Like Urbosa, for example, she gave you the power Urbosa's Fury. Once you complete her trial, she'll let Urbosa's Fury charge up much quicker. Instead of you only being able to use it every 20 minutes or so, you'll be able to use it every 10. That makes it a lot more convenient, and you'll be able to get tons more value out of it.
The same thing applies to the other champions. Next, let's talk about glitches. Glitches are helpful little exploits that will improve your gameplay. Breath of the Wild is notorious for having hundreds of them. One of them is being able to bounce very high off a Vokoblin when you should have been able to just hop off. Another one is item duplication. If you do a certain series of glitches, which there are tons of videos about, you can duplicate your items. This will allow you to have an unlimited amount of very powerful items. You can also transfer the durability of certain items to others, so they won't break as easily.
Another glitch is the apparatus glitch. This glitch will allow you to duplicate your hearts and stamina. Outside of the Hateno village, you'll find a devil statue, where instead of giving her spirit orbs in exchange for hearts and stamina, you can sell her your hearts and stamina for 100 rupees each, and then buy it back for 120. This is really helpful because it can allow you to trade hearts for stamina at only the cost of 20 rupees. But there's a sneaky little glitch you can do here. If you sell this statue all of your essence, either hearts or stamina, and then save the game and then buy it all back. After you buy it all back, you'll have to go to the shrine near Hateno and perform a series of glitches, such as taking a picture and examining a maze at the same time and holding items at frame-perfect intervals. After this series of wacky events, you're going to load your save that you made after you sold all your essence, and it's going to end up that it gave you the properties that when you buy back your essence, but all your other essence will still be in the statue. So you basically duplicated your essence, which can allow you to get maximum hearts really easy without completing a bunch of shrines.
Lastly, we're going to talk about another DLC. It's called the Trial of the Sword. This is an incredibly challenging series of challenges that are unlocked once you obtain one of the strongest items in the game, the Master Sword. The purpose of these trials is to allow you to power up the Master Sword even further. There are 3 separate trials, each one powering up your Master Sword by 10 damage.
And we're not saying these are just difficult for dramatic effect. Even me, I have 150 hours in this game, and I'm still not even close to finishing the first level. This is extremely difficult, and it sometimes can be rage-inducing.
I only had to give up a slight amount of my humanity to finish the first part.
And now that he's finished the first part, he's just taunted with a little boost, when really he knows if he kept going, he'll get tons more boosts, but it's just way too difficult, unless you've mastered the game fully, or you can cheat it if you want to do a glitch. But I wouldn't recommend that, because it kind of takes the fun away out of something you purchased externally.
The trials are each ascending in difficulty. The first trial is hard enough, but the second trial and third trial, those are just abominations of hell.
But if you have enough patience and time to complete these trials, the reward is definitely worth it. Because the Master Sword already can get up to 60 power if you're near any Malice, which is Calamity Ganon's power. But now the Master Sword will always be at 60 power, which can be fantastic because it can one-shot tons of enemies in the game.
The Master Sword will also get a massive durability spike, going from only 30 durability to 110 durability if you've beaten all the trials.
But don't worry, if you don't buy this DLC, the Master Sword still won't break permanently. It will just lose all its energy, and then will be replenished with all its power in a few minutes' time.
That's all for Breath of the Wild.
And I know it might have been a lot to unpack for three different episodes on it, but honestly, this game is one of my favorite games ever. That's why I have to give it a 10 out of 10 rating, because it's just been so much fun.
I have to completely agree. I give it a 10 out of 10 rating. Even the glitches improve the gameplay.
Breath of the Wild is a great game, and if you have enough money, I highly recommend getting it. Even the DLC is definitely worth it. It gives you so much more fun, and Trial of the Sword is sure to keep you occupied because of its difficulty. Well, we'll see you next Wednesday, where we're going to be talking about the popular games, Pokemon Sword and Shield for the Nintendo Switch.
See ya!
See ya!
Do we do good? 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 Do we do good?